Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of the Sport Kite Podcast. I am your host, Nick O'Neill, and I wanted to thank you for tuning in and listening. This episode, we're going to finish off the interview that we did with Tori Lindemann. It's the second half of the interview where we talk a little bit more about some of his past, the people he's flown with, the people that inspire him, and kind of what he's doing now with social media and the other influencers, I hate to use that word, but the other kite influencers or the folks that are out there creating content, the ones that inspire him and that he thinks are kind of helping push the kite field. So with that, I just want to take a little moment, take a pause, and say that we're doing a lot of work over on sportkite.org. It may not look it right now because everything's going on behind the scenes. We're using this kind of winter time up here in the Northern Hemisphere to really dig down to work on not only the databases and adding more information and the cataloging, but we're working on some apps and some other useful tools for sport kite flyers on and off the field. So with that being said, it is a lot of work. There is a lot of work to do. I absolutely love it. I love doing this. It really is a passion project of mine, but I'm going to be the first to admit I could use a little bit of help. So if you're the kind of person that doesn't mind chipping in a few hours here and there, you're under no obligation to take on a massive project. But if you have a little bit of time and you're willing to help, I could use your help. We got a lot of stuff going on. So all sorts of different ways that people can help. I really want to make this a resource for all of you. If you want to invest some time, it kind of makes it a little bit more yours as well. All right. Sorry, I completely detracted there. Let's go ahead and get into this episode with Tori, and we'll finish off this wonderful interview that I did with him. I've heard you mention a handful of people so far, you know, Mark Reed, Scott Weider, stuff like that. Who are some other sport kite flyers that have kind of inspired or influenced you?
Yeah. So, you know, I'd say that the group that I hadn't really highlighted yet, but Mark Ricketts and the Guildworks crew, Curtis Mitchell, man, that guy really had a strong influence on me. You know, and this was, again, being, you know, up in the Northeast, you know, indoor kite flying had kind of kicked off up there pretty early on. Again, we could do a whole nother story about that with, you know, the first, you know, indoor kite competition at Newport. But yeah, just, you know, seeing Mark's flying style and just having that synergy deca that he'd made himself, you know, as part of a, you know, college, you know, engineering project and everything, that you could just make it float so effortlessly. And then beyond that, you know, with Curtis, he taught me actually a lot of, even though, you know, he's nowadays, you know, I mean, I don't know what other people's perceptions are, but, you know, he's often kind of viewed as like a synergy, you know, Guildworks flyer. But before that, he's always been an amazing dual line flyer too. I mean, I think he competed at Guadeloupe, you know, at the World Championships one year. But he taught me a lot of the dual line indoor, you know, catch and release stuff that I've kind of used as a bread and butter thing whenever I'm competing. Just certain tosses. And it was just, again, at one of those competitions, you know, at Wildwood, and we're all hanging out flying, and I was just doing my thing in the corner, and he came over and was like, hey, let me show you some stuff. And just that community aspect, you know, people not worried about, oh, I don't want to show this person something because then they'll beat me in competition. It was, no, I want to teach these people stuff so that they can beat me, you know, and or so that they can, you know, kind of take it to the next level and be better And so, you know, that's the thing. We all stand on the shoulders of giants. So that's yeah, so those are a couple additional names I definitely highlight.
I love it. Yeah, all of those are also on my list as well, for different reasons, but 'cause some of them I'm on West Coast, so I don't get a lot of interaction with East Coast folks, but just going through, videos and stories and stuff like that, they've definitely influenced me as well.
Yeah, and I guess one other comment about those guys too is their focus was less on competing and more on the artistic component. And so like one other brief story, right? So so there's the competition field, and this is why, you know, you were asking about my favorite moment. There's the whole performance aspect of things that, you know, maybe not everybody sees as much. There's not as much exposure to that. But an example of that would be Madison, Wisconsin. We did Kites on Ice out there. I don't know if you'd ever heard about that festival that ran. I don't know. They did like 3 or 4 years, maybe.
Yeah,
And
yeah. I
it's
remember seeing video from it.
yeah. And so the very first year, you know, I was one of the only indoor flyers, and you know, I was just, you know, I was flying, I was doing my routines to music and stuff, putting on a show. But my version of a show was like, you know, I'm just gonna, you know, fly to my music, right? And you know, flying in the lobby area. And then the next year they brought in Mark and Curtis and the Guildworks crew. And you know, Curtis is a wizard with lighting and stage lighting. He does that professionally. And oh my goodness, the show that they put on was, you know, it was full on like theatrical with lights, and I got to then, you know, they brought me along with them. You know, I was able to be a part of that and, you know, fly my dual line kites. You know, I think I was using a Vapor at the time, which with the lighting was like so beautiful. And yeah, we put together this show. I think Lamb Hawk was there in it too. And man, it was just phenomenal. And again, just totally different angle and what you can do with kites.
Yeah, that's I love that I'm doing this interview right now. And I might publish it after the mini sport kite camp because we're also doing a talk with Scott Weeder about this, about things that you can learn from other people and bring that into your flying and how you change your choreography or your performance or all of this. And he's mentioned Curtis Mitchell and all of them as well, and then he talks about gymnasts and artists that he's worked with and just like how it drastically changed what he
Yeah.
does as a flyer. So man, I love this. I might have to move this episode before before the others. All right, so let's see. When it comes to performing or competing. Do you compete anymore? I know we don't necessarily have competition right now, but would you consider
Yeah,
yourself an
no, I'm
active competitor?
so I would consider myself not active in the competing myself, but so every year we do have a Treasure Island Kite Festival in January, which definitely if you're up north and you're cold in the middle of the winter, head on down. It's a lot of fun. But we do hold a competition for the youth in the area, for the kids. And actually you had interviewed the couple that runs the program, and sorry, I'm blanking on his name,
Yeah,
but
the fly it, is it the Flying Mantas? Is that the name of the group? Yeah. It's a really cool, I'll have to go look up what episode it was, but I think it was back in the 40s or 50s. I think we're up in
Brett,
the yeah, I think Brett Voland. That's it.
Brett
We were
Voland,
gonna get there.
But yeah, like so Brett is, he's the one that runs that program and everything. But, when we do have the festivals, I try to, connect with the kids. We did do, some workshops in advance of the competition, and then also, judging for the kids, so judging them during the competition and trying to give them feedback, get them excited about it. That's kind of my level of involvement, really, to try to, help encourage the next generation.
Okay. So then when it comes to your performances or demo flying, you said QuadFX kind of does local demo. Do you still do solo demos or solo performances?
So I do. I haven't done a whole lot recently. I've had some opportunities that have come up, the balance with, other things going on with life and everything. It's sometimes, tough. I've got two kids in high school and one in college, so I'm not kind of at that point where I can do a lot of traveling and everything, plus with, all the pets at home and everything. But I think, there's been some opportunities to do some, solo type stuff. But where I have done it so actually my wife is a music teacher. And so we did a kite day at her school this past spring. And we're already signed up to do it again this year. And that is a whole lot of fun. And really just, getting out there, doing demonstrations with the kids, showing them how all the different kites work. So we've got single line, dual line, quad line, putting the kites into their hands, making sure they get a chance to fly. And you'd be amazed, a lot of kids, they're, kindergarten through fifth grade, a lot of them, it's their first time actually really holding a kite, and they're like, ah, this is so much fun. And so, trying to spread the love there, has been great. And, that's kind of where I've done stuff over the years, just, whether my kids' schools or, other local schools and stuff, doing things like that.
Nice. Yeah, I have a special love for that. And I also have this weird dichotomy, because one of the big discussions that I get involved in that previous presidential role of that one organization I was president of, and what I do a lot right now is, a lot of folks say, we need to get more people in kiting, and they're like, oh, we'll just get kids. And I'm like, stop that, right? Because the growth of our community is not going to come from targeting kids and trying to get kids involved, right? The growth of our community, where most of us came from, is when we were adults with some free time and some money and got involved. Mm-hmm. Or we had a supportive parent with some free time, some money that got us involved. Right,
right.
But that's not to say that we shouldn't expose kids to kites. And wow, that sounds really bad to say expose kids to something. But just giving them a taste. Introduce them to it. Because if they see it now and they get involved with it now, maybe when they're adults, they'll be like, oh yeah, I remember this thing from childhood. I'm going to go back and do it. And then they fall in love with it.
Yeah, and I see that there's, this could probably be a whole nother separate discussion. There's definitely, I don't know, there's different approaches to it. I was definitely that kid that happened to cross it when I was, in middle school, and then, got a little bit more exposure to it, going to different kite festivals and local things in high school. And so, yeah. I was that one that, and my parents were able to, bring me along and get me there and that type of thing.
But you also recognize,
common, yeah.
How many were like you on the field, right?
Right. Not a lot. Yeah. Most of them were, other young adults that, they were looking for a hobby, and, that was something that they got excited in. But yeah, you know, I guess, you know, with the school stuff, I just think it's fascinating how many different subjects you can weave kites into, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, the science, the performing arts, history, you know, there's just, you know, so much there, culture, you know, there's a lot of interesting opportunities, but yeah.
Oh yeah. I think we definitely should be, you know, bringing kites to kids, but not bringing it with the idea of we're creating a community or bringing people into the kite community with it. Right.
Yep.
Because it's like, nope. Just focus on the good stuff, like teaching science or artistic expression or just having fun. Like just do that with kites.
Yeah.
Like try not to make it a, we want you in our community thing at such a young age. So
yeah. Yep.
Personal passion project, pet peeve, everything of mine. That's one of those topics that comes up a lot, along with a topic that I'm going to bring up for a group chat, and I'm going to invite everybody to it. So I'd love to have you in it as well.
Sure.
Would be that, and then also a topic called unintentional gatekeeping. Right. What are we doing that is preventing people from coming to the field, or coming fully into our community? So. Another passion project of mine. All right. So let's see. What has been one of your favorite kite events that you've gone to?
Yeah, I mean, definitely Wildwood has always been a highlight. Over the years that, you know, huge outdoor space, you know, you could go and compete, but also there's plenty of space to be able to go and just fly off by yourselves. And then, a beautiful indoor venue as well, which was like literally right there. I know that it's a hard festival to put on because it's so big. And, you know, I haven't even kept up with them recently. I'm not sure. You know, I know it's, you know, all the different events have gotten a little smaller over the years, but definitely, huge hats off to, whether it's Beatrix or, Roger Tuning back in the day when he was running it, you know, they all put on a great show, and that was really good. And then, of course, you know, Newport was my old stomping grounds, and you know, I think we talked about that a little bit, and I could probably rattle off a dozen more, but yeah, from kite festivals, those are the ones that really stuck out to me.
All right. What's one that's on your bucket list that you haven't attended yet?
I would say, what is it? Dieppe, right? The one in France, and they alternate, isn't it? That 1 year in France and 1 year in Canada.
Yep.
To me, yeah, that would be, you know, one of my bucket list. I'll tell you, I saw for the first time that Italian one, the Arcvento, isn't it?
Oh, Cervia.
That one. I had not been aware of that one before this year.
Oh, that one's beautiful.
Incredible.
That's all artistic kites. There is some sport kites there, but it is like very, very focused on the art side and the artistry of kites. And it's, that's on my list as well.
Yeah. So those, you know, probably have to wait till the kids are a little older and out of the house or, you know, be able to bring them along with me. But it's plenty of neat opportunities.
All right. Let's see. What is in your kite quiver right now? Like, what's your go-to kite?
Yeah, great question. So my go-to for quad line, you know, I've been flying Revolutions and especially, you know, the kite team flies revs. So that's what I've been sticking with. You know, I know that there's a lot of other ones out there. Exciting to see all the different boutique kites coming out with different features. But yeah, so I've got, you know, rev 1.5. I guess it's technically a reflex. I don't know all the different names, but yeah, that's been my go-to from a quad line perspective. And then dual line, the Hydra that Paul designed and made with Hunter.
Original Focus Hydra or the Wind?
No, so I got the Into the Wind version. And yeah, actually I have a couple of them. So yeah, but yeah, I wish I had an original, but no, I mean, you know, they all fly great. And that, so, you know, I've flown Prisms for, you know, most of my competition years. I flew a lot of Prism kites, usually the Prism Illusions. But, you know, I think I've been, you know, I took some time off from, you know, real, you know, heavy competitive flying for a number of years, and coming back to it, I've been using these more modern kites, you know, that have more of a straight leading edge, less of a cambered leading edge there. And I've been adjusting my flying style to try to learn some of the new tricks. I'm still more of an old school flyer, working on it. I'm getting there, but yeah, the Hydra's been the one that's really, you know, helped me to pick up some of those new skills. Yep.
Okay. How would you describe your type of flying? You said you're trying to pick up some of the more elevated tricks or the more difficult tricks. So are you of a big sweeping motions throughout the sky? Are you what I've some of us have jokingly called yank and spank?
Yeah, no, I mean, I developed a flying style, like, it's a very similar to, you know, again, Scott Weider, you know, helped train me, you know, in my early competition years. So having that very intentional precision element, you know, long lines, you know, and very dramatic, you know, getting life out of the kite before you even start doing tricks. That was kind of my thing. So, you know, I could fly standing still, right? But on the competition field, if I'm doing a routine, I'm usually running all over the place because I'm really trying to work it and get the expression out of the kite. So when I'm doing ballet, that's the type of thing that I'm usually doing. But then from a trick perspective, I tend to have a softer hand because some of that stuff I learned by watching, you know, the Prism videos, you know, the way to fly and the advanced way to fly, and then spending time with Mark Reed, you know, he could, you know, just kind of do these gentle tugs and just effortlessly get the kite to do whatever he wanted. So, but one of the things that, you know, that's important to know is, you can watch other people fly, but a lot of it is understanding your kite, you know. And so I've been trying to get back to that because I went through a period of time where, you know, I knew my kite when I was competing a lot. And then as I stepped away from it and then I got some new kites, I never really took the time to learn those new kites as well. And so that's one of the things I'm doing is, you know, adjusting, getting my flying style dialed in a little bit more.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got anything else you want to add about the sport kite community, sport kite flying, yourself? Just kind of.
Yeah. No, I do think it's really exciting to kind of see a resurgence of kite flying, and as we shift into kind of a new phase, right? I definitely would love to see more festivals popping up and local events. But one thing that has been really great is seeing the online community flourish, both on Facebook, through, the podcast like this. And then also, I know a lot of, there's a lot of different content creators out there doing, YouTube videos and stuff. I've been trying to carve out a little space using TikTok myself. So I've got a TikTok account that, I've been doing mostly kite flying stuff. I also throw in some random fun things, whether it's DIY projects or...
Well, I'm going to be sharing your socials.
So yeah.
If anyone is listening, go follow, and you can probably find the link to his TikTok in the show notes or when we post this online. But sorry, go ahead.
So there's that. But then, beyond that, there was a windless, indoor, or not even indoor, but just a zero wind flying virtual kite festival, which was, fascinating. And Amy Doran had put that on with a whole group of other people that put in a lot of work. And, but that was awesome. I could go and I could shoot a video flying, showing my flying skills, and then, see other people's input to the festival. And that was cool. And then also the, going back to the dual line stuff, there's a virtual freestyle competition that some guys in Europe have been running, and just amazing. It's Adrian Bickerstaff, I think, is one of the guys behind that. And there's a whole group, but I threw my hat in the ring to compete, and used my limited, old school tricks and attempted, kind of got a Jacob's ladder a little bit in there, not quite. I think I got second or third to last in that one, but man, it was exciting. Just the talent out there is incredible. And, that would be, just seeing how people can, do things online. Club 38, I got to give a shout out to that with Revolution. What Joe Hadzicki is doing with that group. That's another thing I got into. Not that, I need to, Club 38, and for those that don't know, it's basically like a dojo system. I don't know if you've seen those where you're given a, maneuvers to do, and you have to videotape yourself doing the maneuver and essentially get judged on it. And but then you're sharing that with a whole community of other people online, and everybody's commenting, and usually it's just hey, great job, oh, I noticed you did this, it looks really sharp, or and then if you have questions, you can go to that community and ask for tips and advice and things. And it's helped me to just have a reason to get out there and do more than just flying back and forth. You can actually push yourself to get those maneuvers and, get it just right. And it's fun.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll definitely have to get you on one of the group chats and get you involved in that. And then we'll drop all of your, the social follows, the TikTok and all that you want to share. We'll drop that in the show notes. All right. We'll go ahead and call this one a wrap.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Nick, for doing all this. Love listening to the podcast all the time and really appreciate all of your efforts. Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. Some episodes, I'm trying to find something to talk about. Some are really great, and I've got a lot of good information, and definitely some advice I got at the beginning, before I started, was to just keep doing it, because you have to you have to find your rhythm, right? And sometimes you only find your rhythm after 20 episodes, and here we are, in the 70s on episodes. So it's the longest running kite podcast, and we keep going and going. So
Yeah, keep it up.
I think I've got my rhythm now.
Yeah. And you know, I totally understand if you ever, you know, take a break for a little while, do that, and then just come back. And yeah, it's been wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. All right. So I hope you enjoyed that second half of the interview. Again, you can always go to the episode before this to hear the first half. And yeah, do stay tuned. We're going to be releasing a handful more interviews, a handful more recaps. We're going to start digging into the archives and sharing some of the wonderful information that kind of is from our past and kind of defines the sport kite field today. So do stay tuned for that. And if you like what you hear here, consider going to buymeacoffee.com/sportkite. Chip in a few bucks. It really, really does help. Or if you would like to lend a hand at helping, you can always reach me at info@sportkite.org. And so with that, I'm not going to say that I'm signing off because it's windy outside, because right now it is 6 p.m. and it is dark outside. So with that, I see a sport kite flying across my computer screen, and I am going to go watch this really, really great video that I just saw posted. So I'll see you guys out there. Bye.